Alrighty, welcome back, Nathan.
Thank you.
This is Trayvers Podcast, isn't it?
And welcome back to our listeners.
Yeah, and our watchers.
Our watchers.
It's Comic Book Club. We read different trade paperbacks every single week. I'm Daniel, you're Nathan, we're brothers. We read comics.
In a way, all comic book watchers are like the Marvel watcher because they just listen and they watch and they don't interfere. And they're like, well, that's, you know, probably a, they're probably like, that's probably a very destructive opinion that you have there, but I'm just going to let it happen. Mm-hmm. You know, can't interfere in any way. Yeah. We read some comics here, Daniel, don't we?
We sure do.
And we talk about comics.
That too.
Things that, you know, hover around comics and whatnot. Most of that's done in our first segment, the news. But we got other segments too, like the book. You're just going to let me keep going, aren't you? You're just looking at me so blankly. We have the book. We got the back matter for said book that we read this week. This week is The Many Deaths of Layla Starr. And the pull list, which is other things we've been consuming this week, as well as other comics. Because I like to say every once in a while, but we're hypocrites. We're not really trade waiters. Mm-hmm, we read every week. So let's get into the news, Daniel.
Was there any news?
Yeah, there was some stuff. There's a thing called the X-Men vote that's returning in 2023, and I think that's where people can vote via Twitter to decide the team for X-Men.
I thought it was the thing where they decided who can be on the X-Men or something like that.
Like the main X-Men book title.
But didn't they do that last year? There's a bunch of like really weird ones, like ones that like never heard of, or they're even new.
Yeah. Well, not new, but actually, I think there were new ones.
Yeah.
Or at least like very little appearances, and that's apparently happening again. Okay. And some people are like, the last writer didn't want to write a couple of these characters, and that was very clear. So why are you doing this again? But you know what? They're doing it again anyway. So that's fun.
Good. Nathan.
What?
To be sworn into a government office.
I saw this too.
You don't actually have to swear on a Bible.
Nope. You can swear on any book.
Any book you want. Courtesy of the Library of Congress, Robert Garcia swore on Superman number one, a photo of his late parents, and his citizenship certificate.
What a goat. Yeah. I saw that, but I didn't know the name or anything of that, so I'm glad that you brought this up.
Yeah, he was one of Long Beach's youngest and the first openly gay mayor.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Wow. What a goat.
Sounds like a great guy.
Yeah, he really does.
That's who I want in Congress.
Yeah, I forgot that you could just swear on any book. And So the fact that someone has done it with a comic book, I assume for the first time, is pretty cool.
I was kind of more distraught that the Library of Congress just had an issue of Superman number one.
It's like something else. I have pictures.
Was it a reprint or something?
It was like some collection or something, but it's not like Action Comics, you know, like number one.
No, it's Superman number one, Nathan. The next one.
Oh, maybe it is. Oh, yeah, I guess they have that
like,
then.
You know how there's like Detective Comics 27 and then even Batman graded? Number one? No, it wasn't even graded.
So they're just putting their filthy paw prints all over it.
They're just swearing on this raw-dogged comic.
These fake fans. I Googled Superman number one comic book and it came up with Action Comics. I guess it was.
Yeah.
If I could vote for Robert Garcia, I would.
Because like, I don't think the Library of Congress would have like an Action Comics number one, you know?
Can they make a new department that's like comic books and I'll just lead it?
Maybe they do.
And I'll be like, yep, Superman can go in. And I'll be like, yep, Batman can go in. And Spider-Man, not the naughty list. We don't want that one.
No, get the shit out of here.
But Kiss Zombies? Yes, sir.
Of course.
We definitely need that.
Every congressman is required to read Kiss Zombies.
I don't think every person in Congress is required to read the books that are in there, but that'd be kind of funny.
No, just Kiss Zombies.
Yeah, just Kiss Zombies. Mike Mignola is working on a new written and drawn thing that's not Hellboy related.
Ooh.
That he will be releasing sometime this year, he said. So that's pretty cool.
Do we know anything about it?
No, he just said, lately I've been drawing like a maniac in a good way. And he's come up with a bunch of designs, locations, costumes, creatures for a gigantic new project.
It'd be crazy if like his artwork looked like nothing like his artwork, you know? Because like I feel like he's definitely settled into his like style.
Yeah.
You know, but maybe because clearly if you have like a style, you can just draw on that style if you want, but you can definitely do other things.
He definitely can. Like if you've seen any of his like big two stuff, it does not look like Hellboy.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So he's got like, I just saw a picture of like his Fantastic Four today and I was like, I could see like the DNA of Mike Mignola in there, but it's definitely not like a Hellboy style.
Yeah.
So it probably won't be. And I'm excited to see what that looks like. Because he normally is like doing a variant cover for something and like they have like the Hellboy shoulders where they're just like straight down.
Yeah.
And they look kind of lanky, but I love it.
Like the triangle kind of frame.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And they got the A-frame body.
Yeah.
Like the female like sign for a restroom. How do they have like the triangle? That's what all of his people look like. Also, Mitch Gerrards is doing something relating to the Joker. Yeah, he posted something that he's making. And he's busy making the scariest book you'll read in 2023. And it's got the Joker, it looks like, on it.
So yeah, it looks real creepy.
It does look very creepy. And I'm very excited for that. What did he come out with last year? Was it just the Batman? Or did they finish Strange Adventures last year?
I think they're finishing Strange Adventures. And then there's
the Batman One Bad Day.
One Bad Day.
Or one more. One Bad Day, yeah. I think that was it, right? Or Batman Black and White, maybe?
Did he do some Batman stuff? Like some filler or...
Maybe. But nothing that's like solely his own stuff. So let's get into the book that we read this week then.
Yes, we read The Many Deaths of... We're going to talk about this right now. I think it's Lila.
Layla?
Lila.
Layla?
Lila.
I'm looking it up. Layla. Pronunciation.
We are looking at how to pronounce this name as well as how to say more.
This is so sexy.
How do you say it? Generally in English, it would be said as... Layla.
Let's go.
Layla. Some might say it more as Layla.
That's the Layla. Same thing.
Very few would pronounce it unless it's a different language as Lila. Generally speaking, Layla. And now you know.
But like,
why does his voice? Okay, you have to trust this man
because it was way too sexy for him to lie.
I did not expect that video of how to pronounce Layla. It is Layla to be 53 seconds with a very sexy man. But I trust him with my life. So
okay, the many deaths of Layla Starr. I'm gonna already mess that up during the book.
That's fine.
And Nathan, is this book perfect?
It's pretty phenomenal. I'm not going to lie. There was like a part of me that was scared that you weren't going to be as psyched about it as I am. Because I feel like get more psyched about things.
You do get more psyched about sad things than I do.
I saw the Clementine book on your coffee table.
I'm getting into it. But
yes, this book.
I didn't have anything I didn't like about it.
Yeah, there's no criticisms. It's like unbelievable, really. Like, I think this is probably... my favorite like book that personifies like God's like life and death, even though they don't go into like what they do normally.
Yeah.
This is my favorite story in which they personify like gods like that.
Yeah. You normally don't like those.
Yeah. Yeah. Normally I don't, cause I'm like, the fuck is this? But I think this does a really good job just talking about death and mortality and what that means for life.
Yeah.
Like I could just recommend this book to somebody, I think.
Yeah.
And be like, if you don't feel anything with this, I don't feel anything for you.
Just man, be very dramatic. I don't know if you'll ever feel anything.
Yeah, I know, exactly. And it's awesome.
They like the artwork and like the colors are amazing.
Yeah.
The settings are like incredible.
This artwork is so good that I tried to buy Felipe Andrade original art from this book. Because
was it like $1,000 a page?
Dude, I couldn't find any original art for like this, but someone probably bought it all like outright, because that happens sometimes. Like, people will just buy like all the pages of like an issue. Someone did it for like Ryan Stegman's Venom, I guess.
Right.
And yeah, I couldn't even find these pages, but like that's how good the art is. I'm like, this is a fucking page right here, you know? Mm-hmm. And he's very good with, I don't know, he's got his very distinct style that I fuck with a lot. Like, he doesn't really care too much about like the proportions in some pages if it's meant to give off like a certain message about their body language or whatever.
Yeah.
And he's very good at that. Also, all the gods look awesome.
Very fun.
Yeah, very fun. There's a guy with three faces and I'm like, I like him.
Yeah.
At first I thought he was shaking his head a bunch and that was like a
I'm visual still not sure if that's what the case is.
He could be shaking his head the whole time we see him, but yeah. And the coloring, I think this is like the best coloring I've seen in any comic.
That I can't fight you on that. No.
Every single page I'm like, this fucking coloring's unreal.
Yeah.
So
the pacing is incredible. I don't even think I've ever read anything from Ram V, but
Black Bolt.
This is my favorite thing from Ram B.
Yeah.
Because I'd keep doing this thing where, like, I see authors on, like, a ton of stuff. I'm like, who the fuck is that? I'm like, I'm not going to buy that shit. I don't know them, you know?
How and then, are you supposed to know them if you don't buy that shit?
You forced me to read books.
I do.
I did and it I with
forced you to read this one, Daniel.
I did it with Donny Cates. I did it with Ram B. Who knows who's next, you know? And so I definitely regret it. And this is probably like the, like, Boom Studios is just destroying it
is
right now.
Is this a Boom book?
Yeah.
Oh, hell yeah. Yeah, they crush it then. Yeah, and I think Ram V is definitely like my favorite comic book writer that came from like novels. Because he wasn't like originally a comic book writer. Like, a big part of the marketing for Black Bolt, which is his first like comic, was that he was like a novelist.
Hmm.
And I can kind of see where that happens in this book, definitely. But it's not in a way that like makes it feel bogged down at all. Like some Neil Gaiman books might, you know?
Yeah.
Like, people love Neil Gaiman, and I think he's great at what he does, but...
A little dense.
I think what Ram V did is way more attractive to me in this way. And, like, this is a solid fucking book, and it's 124 pages. Like, entirely, with everything. So, it just speaks to, like, what you can do with that amount of pages, you know?
Yeah. And, honestly, if it was, like, an issue shorter, I think... I would have felt like the same way about it, you know? So even like 100 pages, it would work really well.
Yeah, exactly.
I think it was like the perfect length because the pacing was really well done.
I agree. Yeah.
But
let's get into it. So it starts with a scene where the God of Death gets let go from her job as Death because there's a person born that will eventually solve Death and create eternal life. So Death has to go live as a mortal on Earth, and she requests someone close, like, she has to inhabit someone's body. So she requests somebody that's close to the person that will eventually create immortality so that she can go kill him. And so she gets put in Layla Starr, who just unalived herself by jumping off a building, and she was dead for about 20 minutes until Death inhabited her body. So we just get right into it, Daniel.
Yeah.
It's like, here's what's going on. The gods work in an office building. Who knows what they do? I would read a spinoff on what the gods do from this team. I love their office building. It's just like a really big fucking looking building.
Yeah.
And it like shoots into like the clouds and stuff. I think it's cool.
This book is based in Mumbai.
Yeah, Mumbai.
Which is in India, I'm pretty sure.
Mm-hmm.
I think Ram B is from India.
I don't know that for sure. But it would make sense.
I think I listened to him talk, and he said that
okay.
on like a podcast.
Cool. Yeah.
I like the design for Death a lot.
Yeah.
She's just blue and has like six arms for no reason.
She got great style.
Yeah.
Sick hair, great earrings, like all that stuff. And
is this God she's talking to?
I don't know who the guy with three faces is. I think they say who it is because they're like, oh, this guy wants to talk to you. The purveyor.
Oh, cool name.
Oh, the purveyor of all goodness. So I assume in this, I don't know, religion or whatever this is, he's probably like top dog. Yeah. Because he's on the top floor of this very tall office building.
Yeah.
And I just like the three faces. I think it's a cool design choice.
Yeah, it's fun.
And I'm not sure like how important it is that the death of Layla was like the exact moment of like Darius's birth, who's the guy that'll eventually cure Death. But I do like that detail.
Yeah, I mean, I guess she could have died like an hour before and then her body would still be in the hospital or whatever.
Also, the coloring, I'll probably mention a couple times, but there's like a couple really cool scenes that I like in this page where Death like inhabits Layla's body. I think it's pretty sick. Because like when she gets up, she's still like super dark and blue and stuff.
The one with like the fire titties?
Yeah, the fire titties are pretty cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. But just like the trippiness of that page in general is, I think, really cool.
Yeah. And what is fun is that she still knows that she's Death, you know, and mm-hmm. she has like her memories and stuff, can still experience things, I guess, the way Death would.
Mm-hmm.
Like she sees like a ghost in the hospital. And it's this creepy little girl, but she's kind of cool at the same time.
Yeah. I think she's cool. Yeah. So she talks with this girl who's a ghost that normally can't be communicated with. But she leads Death to Darius Shaw, and that's a baby that would eventually solve Death. And Death is like holding Darius up as like a baby. And she's like, all right, I'm going to kill this guy. And then she can't like bring herself to do it. And so then the hospital people are like, holy fuck, you're alive. And they chase after her, and she runs out into the street and gets hit by like an 18 wheeler. And she dies and is revived 8 years later by the God of Life. And it like, that's like the reveal at the end. It's like 8 years from the day Layla Starr died twice. And so there's like a big jump in time, which is really cool.
Yeah.
I love this reveal that she was like revived 8 years later, and it would like then set the stage for like every other issue. But I just love that concept.
Yeah. She's like homies with like the God of Life or whatever.
Yeah. And I love that. Like, you'd think that, you know, you could just as easily make them like more like enemies, but they like seem to really vibe with each other. So issue two, which by the way, there are some covers in between. This David Mack variant is pretty sick.
Yeah.
Always love his watercolor stuff. Issue two, Layla meets a funeral crow who shows her around like Mumbai. And we get some history of like Darius's parents, who are like a higher class family. And Darius befriends a servant to the family named Bardan, who would teach Darius a lot about like empathy for others and like about farming and shit. And when Darius is 8, Bardan passes away, which would be Darius's first time kind of experiencing death to somebody that's like important to him. Mm-hmm. And his family's not even gonna go to the funeral. So he just like runs off on his own to Bardan's funeral. And I fucking love this first panel where we see Bardan. He's like hunched over and he's like got the pickaxe and shit. I'm like, what a fucking cool way to like position somebody, you know?
Yeah.
Like it's very clear that he's not just like hunched over like that all the time, you know? Or like, but it really expresses that he's just putting his like whole body into like his work.
Yeah.
And that he's like this big beastie man.
There is like some realism to this book, like ignoring the God stuff.
Yeah.
With just like people living their lives. But I do like when there's just outrageous proportions on somebody.
The exaggerated like figure work is super cool.
I just love it. I'm never sick of it.
Yeah.
And it's just this gigantic man who would be like 9 feet tall in real life.
Yeah.
Absolutely huge.
And the coloring, it's like, it really fits his character because he's very like dark, but like red at the same time. So, you know, it communicates that he spends a lot of time outside.
Yeah.
Which I think is a subtle detail that works very well. And just like the style of coloring people throughout the book is really good because he colors a lot of times in like gradients, it seems like.
Okay.
So like it goes from like skin color and then like almost like the shading is like a gradient that would like show up towards like the bottom. If he's not specifically like putting shade on there for effect, which I think is really cool.
Right.
So the crow teaches Death about the ritual of like funerals and stuff, because Death doesn't really understand why people make such a big fucking deal about it. And later Death unknowingly runs into Darius and then immediately teaches him about like remembering others. And if you remember others, like they are still there kind of deal. And so Darius like runs off into the funeral crowd to give him jackfruit, which is what they used to like pick together. And then Death loses Darius, but then finds out after the fact that it was Darius because she didn't know who she was talking to. And she gets drowned by memories in like the ocean that are pulling her down. And she wakes up 12 years later after the drowning.
What I liked about that part is that they draw like these outlines of hands, make it seem like these memories are like pulling her down.
Yeah.
But then he's also saying like it also could have just been like a wave that took her that she didn't know how to handle and ended up dying. Mm-hmm. And I like kind of,
she's probably never swam before.
Yeah.
So if it's like a wave that takes you, she probably feels like, oh, it's the memories, because they mention like oceans holding like all the memories of people or whatever at some point in the book. There's also a sick line in here that reads, if life's an exercise in making memories, no one really goes away as long as they are remembered.
Yeah.
And I was like, damn, that's pretty deep. That's like some novelist shit.
I kept thinking about that quote where it's like, everyone dies twice. Like once when you actually pass away. And then the second time is when like the last time someone thinks about you.
Yeah.
And
which is really dark, but it happens.
Oh, super dark. Yeah.
But like it's real, you know?
Yeah. Because I'm like, if I die, people only think about me until the people who know me die, you know, unless I do something about it.
Like, am I going to be the person?
Make history.
Am I going to be the one that kills somebody because I'm the last one to think of them? Isn't that a crazy thing to think about?
Wait, what?
Like, what if you're the last person to think about somebody?
Yeah. Oh, no, you're not killing them.
I mean, well, not killing them, right? But you're the last person. You're not keeping them alive through memories or whatever, or through the existence of others. Yeah, right? Isn't that fucked up?
But it's okay. Then we're on YouTube, and YouTube will be forever.
Oh, you know what? That's true.
So, no, so listen every week. Forgotten.
Make sure you subscribe and hit that bell.
Watch us blow up in like 100 years, you know, when all the comics are burned for some reason.
Yeah.
And then they can only experience it through the podcast.
There's a big comic book war. Or like the book burnings. But yeah, this is there's a lot of really good thoughts that, you know, are that hit even harder within the context of like the situation. So definitely like check this book out. But yeah, I love the way that the hands are colored, because it's like the outlines of them are like colored differently, and it still kind of gives it like an ocean feel.
Yeah.
And there's a scene where she thinks she's being saved by the crow, and she's like, oh, thank you. You're so big now, but thank you. And he's like, oh, I'm like a funeral crow. You're fucking dead now.
Yeah.
And I'm taking you to wherever you go. And then she wakes up 12 years later because the god of life is like, what the fuck? You do this again?
Yeah.
A third time? Does he have to like find her body each time? What are the logistics that go into it? And what? Why is there like a difference in time?
Because that's when he chooses to revive her. Or yeah. Bring her back.
Well, actually, no, it is explained when she like comes back specifically. So maybe he has like something to do with that. But does he have to find her body?
I don't think so.
That'd be funny if he did.
Because like, is she like when she's brought back again after 12 years, is that like on Earth or is that some sort of God bedroom? I don't know.
Probably like a nice hotel.
Maybe.
So yeah, issue 3. Layla, also the variant for this one's Mike Del Mundo, also a goat with covers.
A legend.
Yeah. Issue 3, Layla's been kind of living it up for a little while. She's going to like parties and smoking and stuff. And one party, she sees a boy get broken up with. And then we get some context, which is that boy is Darius. Big shocker there. And there's a flashback that shows Darius and his friend Zafar and Danica just kind of like living life. And Zafar and Darius get into a fight over Danica, which Darius is dating at the time. And that's the last time that Darius sees Zafar before he gets killed in like a riot fire, which he feels really guilty about and stuff. Couple things. This issue is largely from the perspective of a cigarette, which I think is really creative.
I thought it was weird until like...
Until I understood what was happening.
Until like, I don't know, it was just like... Yeah, until it wraps up. I'm like, okay, yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah. It took me way too long to figure out that that's what was happening. But there's like a whole page where it's just from the perspective of a cigarette getting sucked on or whatever.
Yeah.
But it's POV very clear. Action. If you're smarter than me, it's very clear because like the lettering for it's really clever because it's got like little smoky like letter boxes.
Yeah, true.
Dialogue boxes. So I think that's pretty cool. But the coloring for the party is also very like psychedelic. And it makes it feel like a party that's happening. So, but it's also interesting because the cigarette and death have like this relationship, it seems, together. And that's why he like knows so much about death or something. There's
not
like
literally, like, but like very like.
But that's why.
Metaphorically.
Metaphorically. Yeah. But like that's.
She has a relationship like with like this vice kind of thing.
Exactly. Which pretty cool. Also, the friends would like hang out in this pillow factory and it has like a bunch of graffiti and stuff on it. Because they're young kids and they go do graffiti every once in a while, right? And one of the graffitis is like a message from Ram V. It's like signed Ram V, and I thought that was clever.
Oh, where?
It's right here. It says, you will never get over your first heartbreak. And then it's underlined and then signed Ram V.
Yeah, I turned straight to it as soon as you said that.
Yep. But then it's like all of the graffiti gets erased by soot when the whole factory burns like to the ground. And all of that graffiti is like erased by that soot. And it's like... super deep for me to like understand, but it still hits, you know, because it's like that's all memories and stuff or art in some way, and then just gets burned down because of like a riot.
Yeah,
very, very good imagery.
So her hair is like really cool in this because it's just like unrealistically long.
Who's Layla's
death? Yeah, or Layla. I don't know if you like noticed, but it becomes like more apparent as the
does her hair get longer?
I don't know if like I'm not like measuring it or anything, but it just seems like
if you could,
it just seems like that's like just really long.
Oh yeah. That is a very long panel. So yeah, Death and Darius share a cigarette together, but they don't really know who each other are. Darius kind of like recognizes her, but he's like, nah, that can't be that one girl.
Mm-hmm.
And they talk about Death. Darius gets a little fed up and leaves the loft where the party is, but the whole party gets burned down by a cigarette, which kills Death again. and she wakes up 16 years later, being brought back to life again. There's like a really small like line that the God of Life says, but he says, "I'm nothing without you," at one point. And I think that kind of paints a lot of their relationship a lot, because there's value in what he does based off like what she does, and he kind of like recognizes that.
Yeah.
Which I think is cool. I like their relationship, even though it's like this casual like thing. They're friends, clearly. But there's also a lot of fire deaths this issue. We got two of them.
Yeah.
Which is like, okay. And it's kind of interesting at the same time, because she got drowned once. She got burnt once. And the original Layla hit the earth once.
Yeah.
So it's like, she's collecting all the elements.
Gets hit by a car once.
Gets hit by a car once. Yep. So there's metal. So issue four, Death meets like a temple that she walks into, and the temple can like talk to her. And the temple explains that it's like the last Chinese temple in the city, last like authentic one or whatever. And the temple's worried about an old man named Wei, who used to frequently like be at the temple. And it gives you like a backstory of this guy about him being like the last of like a line of immigrants that went there. And so, and like how Wei would like take care of the temple and like lock it and sweep it and stuff. He's very nice. So, but he hasn't seen Wei in a while. So the temple asks Death to check in on Wei during her quest for Darius. And Darius is now 36 and he's got a whole ass home and a family and shit. And I think Ram V has a really strong ability to just set up a character backstory in like 3 to 4 pages and just make me care about them for the rest of my life.
Oh, yeah.
Because
I'll never stop thinking about Wei.
I know, me neither. And I'm like, oh, Wei is such a nice guy. He's just doing, you know, his part to protect this
thing. I can't look at my Wei protein anymore.
I know. I'll just start crying.
Yeah.
But yeah, Wei is like a really nice character. He's got a humble backstory and he's trying to protect his like culture by like taking care of this temple. And I'm like, that's very honorable. And, so yeah, Death shows up to Darius's house and Darius recognizes her from both the party and the beach. And he's like, I've been waiting for you. And Death admits that she is a god. And then Darius recognizes that she shows up only after important deaths in his life. So the first one being Bardan, the servant, and then his friend Zafar from before. And now his wife. So his wife's gone. And so he gets really angry and like kind of violent a little bit, smashing like a glass, like cuts his hand and stuff. And he vows to never let her take anyone away from him ever again. And says some like mean stuff from her. And Layla runs out and she's like scared for the first time.
And it's kind of funny how like, as she's like trying to stop him from doing like his thing, she's also inadvertently inspiring him to do exactly that.
Yeah. You know? Which is a really cool twist, I think.
So he's obviously really mad in this issue. And I just kind of love like the shading on his face from the penciler.
He's very fierce.
Very fierce. Very scary.
Yeah, like, he is actually. And like
he looks like a super villain. Look at that.
Okay. He does. No. Yeah. And he's like the nicest kid or dude. And I think like the buildup to that scene is really great. Because there's like a couple silent panels where like he smashes the glass. He's like yelling at Layla. There's blood from his hands. It's dripping on the newspapers and stuff like about him. And like, there's a lot of like really small details that build up to like this very intense scene. And I think it's done really well.
Mm-hmm.
And it's also interesting seeing Death get like a sense of unfairness of her situation. And she gets multiple chances at life and she keeps fucking throwing it away.
Yeah,
pretty much. So I like that perspective. And she finds out later that Wei had passed away. And
oh no.
Wei is away and she delivers this news to the temple, and then she sleeps at the temple, which then collapses due to the storm outside. And then Death reads about it 28 years later when she gets resurrected and reads the newspaper about the last Chinese temple in the city collapsing from one of the worst floods in years. And this temple collapsing really fucked with me.
Oh, yeah. This was a hard-hitting issue.
Why do I care about this building?
A building that talks, apparently?
Yeah. But it was so nice. And he's like, oh, thank you for this like news about my friend Wei. It's raining outside. You should sleep here. And that's how like Layla dies. But I don't know. Why do I feel this way?
Because the temple really only stood up because it had purpose.
Yeah, it's like the last cultural architecture for like a whole generation, and it just collapses.
Yeah, and then its purpose is gone now.
Yeah.
The temple's only friend.
It's fucked up. Yeah, yeah, his last friend died, and then he died immediately after.
Yeah.
It's crazy. It messes with my emotions. And I don't like it, but I do like it at the same time. So, issue 5, the last issue, Darius is living his life as an old man, and he's kind of dedicated his life to helping helpless animals that are brought to him. And there's this dog, and he's got a broken leg, and he's trying to help him out, right? And then Death finds Darius again, but doesn't really have any rhyme or reason in her head, because at this point, she doesn't really want her job back, it seems. And she's kind of like having second thoughts about the whole thing. But Darius is apologetic to Death about how they left things.
The way the book opens is like a little girl finding like a dog that is not well, like on the beach. Mm-hmm. And so they set it up to where, oh, there's this crazy old man that is able to help dogs and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And so they go to him, and I didn't even think about it. And so like, she's like, oh, I'll help him or do my best. And then she's like, you check on him tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
And then like, as like the kid's leaving, like Layla shows up.
Oh, I figured this was Darius from the start. But was that the reveal to you that it was Darius?
Yeah, that's how you're supposed to read it, Nathan.
Oh, really?
I was Stop jumping ahead all the time.
I'm okay? Like, oh, that's Darius, clearly.
Yeah, because like maybe it's a new character, you know, like Way was.
Yeah, it could have been.
Yeah, and so that I'm just kind of read things and like let them tell me the story, not let me try and figure out the story, you know?
Well, I also read things that way, but when
now
I
you
see,
skip ahead.
When I see a man... And it's supposed to be 28 years later, so he's like 60 or 70 or something.
Unrecognizable.
They know what scared me about this book is that there's a dog being operated on, and it made me a little scared.
I was like, you're so close.
You're
right
toeing the line, because we have a rule that if a dog dies in a comic book, it's just a bad book legally.
Yeah.
I don't make the rules. Mm-hmm. But thankfully, that didn't happen. And he was really toeing the line there. He's like, I don't know if I can help this dog. Like, you know, he's probably actually helpless. And I'm like, please don't kill a fucking dog right now. I'll have to make an amendment to the law, you know?
Yeah.
But no, still good book. The dog, I think, is alive, or at least doesn't die on screen.
Yeah, no, it like gets like better.
Yeah, yeah. Which is very nice. But a very noble cause as well from Darius's side.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Because he's obviously very smart and like a doctor and stuff, but apparently he just learned how to be a vet as well at some point in his life. So yeah. Very cool. So Darius reveals that he did successfully invent immortality, but he did not ever use his creation because it would essentially directly take away from enjoying life. Because after he invented immortality, he's like, I'm gonna go fucking party. I've done it. And then he like kind of appreciates like the small things in life. It seems like he goes to like a little carnival kind of deal and does a bunch of stuff that like he wasn't doing before.
Goes and sees a movie by himself.
Yeah, which I've done once, and it's kind of nice.
I used to do it all the time.
I've done it once, and I would do it again, but I think I saw like Black Panther.
First time was like a little uncomfortable. I was like, do people know I'm here by myself?
I was sitting next to like two families, you know, like I was sitting in between them.
Ah, so you got away with it. Yeah,
so I mean, yeah, I guess so.
Yeah, but like back when I was doing that, you couldn't see what seats were taken already.
Oh, so you're just in a random spot.
Yeah.
People are like, he's here alone.
But then again, you didn't want to just sit next to people if there's clearly more seats.
Yeah,
you know?
No, you definitely don't want to do that. So you just got to sit in the back, maybe.
That was a kind of a go-to, yeah.
Yeah, that's fair.
But then I got selfish and I went to the spot where they have the bars you can put your feet on.
Oh, yeah. You got to do that.
Clutch. Very nice.
So, and then he also reveals that he's dying from a brain tumor,
mm-hmm.
which is crazy because he has immortality like right there in this little shoebox. He like puts it in a shoebox, I guess. And he's like, well, fuck, I guess my time's limited now. And clearly he has to come up with a decision to not cash in on what he's invented because of like this newfound philosophy of his, which I think is pretty cool.
Because in addition to that, like he... like admits that when he was working towards getting it, he was like neglecting his son, mm-hmm. and their relationship like fell apart. He hasn't seen his son in years.
Yeah.
He could even use the immortality to, you know, try and fix that relationship.
Yeah.
But just doesn't.
And it's very clear to him that he kind of spiraled out of control last time he saw Death, which is right when his son's mother died. And yeah. So neglecting him at that point, kind of when he needs it most, is probably like his biggest regret. So it's, you know, I think that he has like a, that's like his biggest regret for sure. And Death would later kind of help him in this cause with like the helpless. And he like helps out some of the animals and stuff and sort of just keeping the gift of life going. And then Darius would later make amends with his son. Eventually, Death is given the shoebox that contains immortality, but we never really know what happens to it. I think she puts it in the ocean. I think it's kind of shown that way, but they also say that we don't know what happened to it or whatever. And then Darius passes away. And like, that's how the book ends, which is pretty cool. Very nice. Not nice ending. It is a nice ending. I don't know. I don't know what to feel, but the coloring of the sunset is unbelievable.
Pretty good.
Where they're just sitting on the beach and he's like, let me tell you about life or whatever.
Like this last panel, like really got to me. Cause I was like, ah, crap, this is the end, isn't it? And it's like, perhaps it is enough to remember at story's end, the miracle that it was simply to have lived.
Very nice.
And I was like, oh God, that's there, a good one.
There's a line.
And so I read that and I'm like, I have to go to a party after this. I'm so mopey right
now. I remember you so badly wanted to talk to me about the book at this party. And you're like, did you finish it? And it was like, it made me real sad.
Like, I just wanted to see if you had the experience that I did, but we just like weren't going to talk about it because we're going to wait for the pod. But you're like, I read like one issue. I'm like,
no, I read two issues.
And I was like,
I read two issues. It's pretty fun.
I'm like, it's pretty good.
Yeah. It's, just a solid, you know, 120 something pages that really communicates a lot, I think, and shows what comics is capable of.
It's one of the most well put together trades I think I've ever read.
Definitely.
Cause I could see myself like rereading this, like
I'm going
all the time.
Yeah. I'm going to reread this in like a decade and I'm going to take a whole new like experience out of it.
Yeah.
Or like, I don't know, however many decades, whenever there's like a big death in my life,
I'll read it next year.
Whenever I kill you, you know, but no, like whenever there's a big death, if I read this, like there's no way I'm not crying halfway through this book, you know?
Yeah. And because like there is no part of it that I felt was like left out or things I wish they would add. And so I'm like,
this was all there.
And it like stuck the landing. It had the artwork to support it all. And I'm just like, this is so good.
This is a fucking book for sure.
Absolute banger.
And what's nice or what's kind of cool about this is that a lot of it's like, do people really die if you remember them, right? I assume Death gets her job back or something because immortality was never a thing. And in a way, Darius is going to live forever because there's no fucking way that Death is going to forget Darius after this experience.
Yeah,
because
she was in a way, pretty disconnected as like a god, you know, like being a human was just like not like a thing to her. Like she had to learn a lot of these things.
You know? She did. And yeah, so she had this field trip being immortal a couple times and now she'll remember Darius for forever, which means that he lives for forever. And isn't that nice?
What's fun is like, because she died so many times, she was only really like alive for like a week.
I think it's implied that there's a big time jump in between when she gets resurrected and finding Darius again. Cause it's not like,
she gets resurrected. That could have been a couple months.
Goes to a party and then happens to run into Darius, you know?
Okay. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. So I think that she has time to like live as immortal and just kind of fuck around.
Okay, so maybe a couple years in there.
Yeah, I think it's not like she was just alive for a week, but you can't really spare the few pages. Or I guess you could. I would read more of this book and just see what Death was doing. But
that's what I'm saying. Like if there was more, I would read it. But like I don't need more and kind of don't want it.
Yeah,
you know,
like what's a good ass movie that you don't want a sequel for because it's so good? You know, that's what this is.
I think nowadays it's more like, I don't want a reboot of this because it'll just ruin it or something.
Yeah, that's fair. But there's like...
maybe like Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
Yeah, see? Like what is there to gain?
Yeah, no, like we don't need more of that, you know?
Exactly. Or like, I was going to say Quentin Tarantino movies or something, but there's like a lot of sequels for those. I think Django's a pretty good movie, you know?
Yeah, don't need like more.
You don't need another one of that.
But there was the Django and Zorro crossover comic.
You know what? I will accept that. We should read that, actually. I wonder if that's any good.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
So yeah, this is an easy recommendation, I think, for anybody. Even if you don't like read comics.
This can be great for a normie. But then again, a normie might not get why we like it so much.
I think there's still a nice message in there.
There's enough in this for, I think, anyone to like enjoy it.
Yeah, exactly. I also like the representation of like immortality. Because like, what do you do? you know, he invents immortality and it's like, what is that going to look like? But I think they do a good job with it. Just yeah. this nice like steam looking thing. I don't know.
Because you think like a lot of people probably want immortality or whatever. Yeah. But he like once he has it, then he's like, what's like the point at that point, you know?
How would you know that you did it, you know?
Yeah, that it worked.
Yeah.
That's it, like, the only thing it wasn't like a potion or anything. It looked like a spell that was like.
And he's like, well, there it is.
I was like, is it still in there? I don't know.
I wish he did some like animal trials or something. And he's like, I did it on this rat and he's like still kicking. So I think I did it, you know?
So what I thought what was happening is that he had immortality and he was just giving it to all like the stray dogs and stuff that he was like helping. I'm like, oh, he's not like actually a doctor. He's just like giving them immortality and then they go on.
You know? I don't think so.
Yeah, I get that's not what happened, but that's what I thought was happening.
Maybe he's giving him a taste. So
my dog should live forever. That's right.
That's right. Yeah. And in a way, if he was doing that, it would be the best book because then no dogs die in this universe.
Yeah. Dogs are immortal.
Yeah. So it immediately becomes the best book of all time.
You know what? This book was lacking something. He should go back.
I take that back. Yeah.
If this doesn't win an Eisner, I'm going to be furious.
It already has. I'm pretty sure.
No, it got nominated for it. This next year's.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah.
I'm pretty sure it was in something.
No, because I was looking at Felipe
Andrade.
Andrade's like page, and he said like, oh, we got nominated for like fucking everything.
Good.
And I was like, he better win everything.
Yeah, exactly.
Like I've never.
Once we're on the Eisner's like voting board, which I apply to every year.
Right.
We're voting for it. We got you, Mr. V.
Because. I've never, because everything I read, because I want to read it, and if it gets nominated for something, I'm like, oh, cool, that I think that should win, because I haven't read the other things.
Yeah.
But I don't care what else is on those lists, like, I think this should win.
Everything would pale in comparison.
Best trade, at least, you know?
Mm-hmm.
The other stuff, I guess, is up to other people, you know, but it would make sense.
I can't imagine anybody would read this and be like, no, this other thing's clearly better. You know?
Yeah, no, let's give it to Batman.
And the war goes to Tom King.
Oh, God.
That would actually piss me off.
I haven't read.
I like Tom King, too, but if they gave him another one, I'd be like, what the fuck are you up
to? Like, I haven't read more Ram V stuff, so I wouldn't necessarily go straight to give him best writer or whatever. But right. Anyway.
He's on the new Detective Comics.
He's on a lot of stuff. I've seen his name. I've just, like, neglected everything.
He's on Carnage.
He's on Carnage.
Can you imagine like he's just reading this and be like, oh, I'm gonna read his Carnage now.
What if like Carnage it was like trying to promote the book, is like writer of The Many Deaths of Layla Starr?
That'd be insane.
I'd be like, all right, I'll give it a shot.
I wish this book was like Ram V, the writer of Carnage. And people are like, oh, hell yeah,
I'm sold.
Yeah, that'd be funny. So let's get into some back matter matters.
Back matters.
They know it's all covers, variant covers, but I'm cool with that because they really match the energy of the book.
Yeah, they're all super kick-ass.
Yeah. So, actually, a lot of them I don't really recognize except for Evan Cagle.
You know, I don't recognize him, and I think I like his the most just because it's just Layla Starr on the floor, but then there's like the shadow of her other arms.
Yeah.
Which is
cool.
In the
back, which is cool. And you can tell that she's like trying to learn about, you know, something. I guess it's a newspaper about herself.
Might just be chilling. You know?
Yeah, she's chilling. But
and Christian Ward is a cool one as well.
He's a good one to get for this because he does the trippy stuff and he does the color stuff that kind of matches the energy of this book. But
yeah,
all the other ones pretty phenomenal as well. And then we get some character or not character creator bios, and they're like Ram V. He's doing some. I guess he's got other graphic novels that I'm not even recognizing, but. These Savage Shores and Blue and Green. So, and he's done some Big Two stuff, it says. And then Felipe, they just say that he's done work for all of these like publishers, but they don't even Riot Games, which is interesting, which is the game dev for like League of Legends and Valorant.
Oh, for sure.
And
what?
They don't name any of his other work, but
what's his other work?
I was looking at his page.
Like, his name's familiar. So I was trying to find out, like, what I have read that he has done.
Yeah.
Hold on. But I don't think I found anything.
He's on Felix Comic Art. He's done Secret Wars Siege. He did the interiors for. There's a couple pages on there for sale. Criminally underpriced, I must say. I almost bought one of his pages because it had Groot on it, and I kind of liked it. And it's not that, expensive or not as much as I think it would be, you know? So Secret Wars, Siege, Rocket Raccoon, and Groot.
Oh, that's what I'm thinking of. Okay.
Yeah. Which I think was that the one that Scotty did?
I think Scotty wrote it. Yeah.
Wrote it. Yeah.
I wonder what that would look like.
Old Man Logan, he did some issues of. I think that was like the newer series, either by Bendis or Lemire. So,
okay. I think I remember those issues because I thought it was like a drastic change in artwork.
Yeah. Some new Jessica Jones. That's the main stuff, it looks like. And then also some like covers and stuff. But yeah. I'm excited to see what he does next.
Yeah, definitely.
He's been teasing what he's doing next, and I'm definitely going to be first in line to buy it, for sure. So, what'd you rate this book, Daniel?
And then, gotta have it easily.
5 out of 5 gotta have it.
Definitely. You know what? It would be a gotta have it with rainbow sugar ice cream, you know, to match the coloring. All the colors and the trippiness of it.
Yep.
I don't...
With a cigarette on there.
And then I'm crossing the street while I'm eating and get hit by a bus.
Yeah. And then you get to live again and then eat that ice cream again.
Yeah.
And it's still just as good.
I don't think you can put toppings in like rainbow sherbet, but if you did, a lot of those.
Yeah.
You know?
Definitely.
What do you rate it? The gotta have it as well?
Definitely 100% the biggest gotta have it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's one where it's like, they accidentally put so much ice cream that they can't put like the lid on there if you're taking it to go.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Just so squeezes
it's
out.
Like one of those because that's how much of a gotta have it is, you know?
For sure.
Very good. Yeah. Definitely read it. Like we don't do justice talking about it. It's easily like, I want to like buy it physically and just have it on my bookshelf kind of deal.
I think so too. Yeah.
Yeah. So very solid. Very good. So let's get into the pull list, colon.
Shove it in your box.
The pull list. What did you shove in your box?
Daniel, I went to the comic shop today.
Of course you did.
And Diamond did not deliver everything yet, so I did not get the chance to pick anything up. I don't even know what's coming out, because normally I just go there, and it's just there. So
perfect.
What came out?
I actually missed a couple of things from last year.
You're one of those guys. Oh, I missed all these books from last year.
When this comes out, it'd be like the second week of the year.
Yeah, true. All right, anyway.
From last week, it was Riddler Year One, Number 2 by Paul Dano. Sergeant Rock versus the Evil Dead, number 3.
That's only on number 3?
Yeah.
Oh,
there's a trailer for that new Evil Dead movie, Evil Dead Rises. It looks really sick,
actually. Does it have Bruce in it?
No.
Oh, okay.
I was kind of waiting for like his cameo to pop up.
I think he like promoted it.
Oh, yeah. He's going to promote it forever because it kind of made his career. But
yeah, it did. But I didn't watch the trailer because I was in a place that didn't have great Wi-Fi at the time, I think. And so I'm like, oh, okay, cool. Let's do another one. Let's go.
But this week we got Batman 131.
Let's go.
We got Gotham City Year One, number 4.
How many is that going? Is that 8?
I don't know.
Okay.
We got Stillwater, number 17. That'll be wrapping up on number 18.
Mm-hmm.
And we have Mosley, number 1, the new Rob Guillory book that is coming out through Boom, I think.
What?
I told you about it in the news. If you don't remember, it's your fault.
It is my fault, but I didn't know that was coming out.
Yeah.
So soon.
We talked about it some time ago to the point where I basically forgot about it, but I also saw it. I'm like, oh, I remember that.
That's wild. I'm definitely going to pick that up.
Oh, it's got your boy Jean-Francois Bellew.
Oh, great colorist.
As the colorist and Sam Lofty on art. He did.
Oh, so he just wrote it?
He did Harley Quinn. Yeah, so he's just writing.
Okay, gotcha.
In a hyper-technological world of the later 21st century, Mosley is a bitter old janitor on a mission from a higher power to unleash holy hell upon the get big to fail tech gods.
Sweet. That sounds great. It's a 5-issue limited series. So I think he's just doing that. We're taking a break from Farmhand. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Did you read anything this week other than our book?
No. Did not get a chance to read any comics.
As you mentioned, I was reading a bit of the Clementine. But before that, I read Nemesis by Mark Miller and Steve McNiven. Not very good. It was like fine.
Sure.
But it doesn't like increase my excitement for the new book that comes out. You know, I'm like hoping maybe it's just better.
I'll tell you what does. Jorge Jimenez like posted he tweeted a panel from it.
Yeah.
And it looked amazing. So
yeah, like, no, the artwork is like the best part of it. Like Steve McNiven, you know,
he's fucking
fantastic.
Crazy. Yeah.
He does good in that. It's just like I wasn't like connected to like the main character at all. I didn't think he was like that cool.
Sure.
It's basically like Batman if he's like the world's worst like villain or whatever. Not like worst, but like
successful
most evilest villain or whatever.
Yeah.
He's like a little OP, you know. He's like still Batman. He doesn't have like powers or anything, but it's like literally like everything was just going his way because he planned it out. You know, it was like four issues, so that it didn't seem like he had like any weakness or anything. Sure. He's never outsmarted or anything like that, and so it was just like meh. Like he had no motive. You gotcha. Know, he was just. Rich just
being
and bored.
Evil to be evil.
Yeah, yeah. It was so. I was just like
interesting.
Yeah. So and there's like some parts where like Mark Miller went like a little too far, in my opinion.
Wow.
And what you would hate about it is that
is it's there a dog that dies?
No. Okay. But still, what you would hate about it is that it's mostly like the horizontal panels.
Oh yeah.
So it's
I
like
do hate that.
Like it's like a movie pitch almost. There's like maybe one page where they cut them up.
I swear to God, if he makes Jorge Jimenez do that, it's gonna be so disappointing. Because I love what he does.
Let
with
me just
normal pages.
Get you ready for that possibility.
Ugh, dude, I'm gonna be so angry at him if he does that.
Yeah, it wasn't a bad book, but I'm just like, because Mark Miller's like
he's pretty
probably
creative.
My favorite writer. Just from like his body of work, I just like I've always thought it was like fantastic, you know.
Yeah,
and just kind of reading this, and it just like didn't hit that mark for me. I was just like, yeah, that sucks.
Gotcha. You know? Hey, they can all be winners.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, I know. But you know, good artwork.
Yeah.
Did you watch anything?
I did. I watched the Murderville Holiday Special, even though it's after Christmas.
You still got to watch it.
I still watched it, and I still thought it was hilarious.
Very good.
And I really thought it was funny that Pete Davidson showed up for like last 5 minutes and barely did anything.
Yeah, he's totally unnecessary. But
yeah.
It was like the only thing we didn't know was going to happen, you know?
Yeah, but I just love Will Arnett, and I hope they do another season of that show because I just think it's so fun and creative.
He's so good at it.
And I like when I like the joke where you find out Santa's like been killed, and then they're like, he's like still kind of alive though, and they're like, Santa, what happened? He's like, I got stabbed with a candy cane. And he's like, that part is so apparent, Santa.
I like when Will Arnett's talking to Jason Bateman. Mm-hmm. He's like, is there any danger in this room? And then fucking Marshawn Lynch comes in with a chainsaw.
And he's like, oh shit, that's the guy from Ozark.
How did you not see this danger?
You have to always be assessing for threats outside the room.
Yeah.
And then Marshawn Lynch is like, oh shit, that's the guy from Ozark.
No, yeah.
Yeah, and I was like, that's so funny.
That's the Ozark dude.
And then Maya Rudolph, I think, did a really good job with what she was given.
Oh, she was breaking character like the whole time.
It was so, like, immediately when they were like, all right, let's explain what happened. So Santa's been murdered. And then she, like, breaks character. I just think it's so funny. So very good. I hope they do another episode of that.
Surely they
are. I'm sure they are. If they give him a holiday special, you know, like you.
Maybe it's like. The last hurrah for them, like see how this does. If it does good, then you get the second season.
It could be. I mean, it seems like Will and Arnett still having fun with it,
or maybe they're just working around a lot of people's schedules. See, a lot of people.
Yeah, I imagine it'd be hard to get just Jason Bateman free for like a whole day. You know.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I also watched Bullet Train.
Dude, I almost watched that, but Sarah is so anti Bullet Train just because
everybody's got hype for it.
I don't know. It's just like the way it looks and the fact that it's just called Bullet Train. I think she just thinks it's a dumb action movie,
which
it probably is. But
it is dumb action. No, I'd take that back. I think it's a very good action movie because I think dumb action movie is predictable, and this was not.
Okay. Yeah.
And
and star-studded cast.
Dude, like there's like people that show up, and I'm like, that guy's fucking in it.
Like Michael Shannon?
Like Michael Shannon's in it? I'm like, is that Michael Shannon?
I'm like, I saw him in the trailer. I'm like, oh, Michael Shannon's in this.
Dude, yeah, I didn't know that he was in that. I didn't know like half the cast was in this movie. I mean, I just knew like Brad Pitt and then like the people that play Tangerine Lemon, which is Aaron Taylor Johnson and that other dude. I forget his name.
Brian Tyree Henry.
Yeah.
Close.
But there's like a ton of people that show up and I'm like, you're in this movie? There's literally like a huge cameo, even though he's only in it for like 5 seconds. Huh. That makes sense, but I just wasn't expecting. So, yeah, really good movie. Actually, I was like purely entertained, like the full like 2 hours it is. So
sick,
pretty cool. And like, it's all non-linear storytelling, kind of.
Okay, cool.
And then that creates more context for what happens. But there's like a lot of characters, but they all make sense. And I think that part's impressive on its own.
Seems
it's also very fun action, like the whole time.
Nice.
So that's pretty cool.
Apparently, Aaron Taylor Johnson talked to like the James Bond people.
I think after seeing this, like I could see it.
Hmm.
Even though he's kind of like silly in this, I could see him being like serious in like a Bond thing.
I just think it'd be it makes sense. So crazy to be like Kick-Ass, Quicksilver, and then James Bond.
Yeah, you know? And then whatever goofball he is in this movie to James Bond.
And then but the I could dude, see it. And the dude in Godzilla or whatever.
Oh yeah,
who's unreasonably jacked
and just a military guy.
Yeah,
yeah. So pretty cool. I also watched a documentary called This Place Rules on HBO Max. It is from my favorite YouTube channel, Channel 5, Andrew Callahan.
Oh, he's got a documentary on HBO.
It's an A24 documentary.
Interesting.
And it's all about the events that led up to the January 6th insurrection and how he saw it and what his perspective is on the events that led up to this. Uh-huh. And he interviews some fucking wild people in this, both in the fact that there's some people that are insane, clearly, or...
Was he like there?
No.
Oh, okay.
He had COVID when it happened.
Uh-huh.
But he interviewed a lot of the people that I think played a huge part in it.
Mm-hmm.
And I learned a lot, especially, but it's really good. It's like fucking fascinating because normally his stuff is like kind of silly because he goes to like the World's Strongest Man competition and interviews like people there. And there's some pretty, you know, comedic characters there. And I think that part is still apparent in this, but when shit gets like dark and people are like caught up in these like media echo chambers and they're thinking that like Hillary Clinton is like a lizard that eats babies or whatever, and they actually believe it.
Yeah.
Like that's comical, but he approaches it from a place of empathy. And I think that gets him into certain interviews that are bizarre. Like he interviews and works out with Alex Jones from InfoWars.
Oh, wow.
Which is bizarre. But he was on InfoWars, I guess, and that was like a part of it as well. He interviews like the leader of like the Proud Boys and kind of exposes him a little bit just from what he's saying. And it's like, it's insane. So I think it's really, really good. And it like still feels like it would just be a longer YouTube video, but it's just like an hour and a half, you know?
Wow.
So everything I love about his YouTube channel, which is probably my favorite YouTube channel, is like there in this film. So I think it's very cool.
Wow, interesting.
So it's called This Place Rules. Jonah Hill produced it, I guess.
Oh.
Which is cool. And it's an A24 documentary, which feels like that's like appropriate.
Sounds
and
good.
And so, yeah. Pretty cool.
Cool. I watched The Nice Guys with Russell Crowe and...
Is it Russell Crowe? Isn't it? Who's the other guy? Hold on. From The Notebook, right? What's his name? Why am I blanking?
It's him and then also...
Is it Russell Crowe or isn't it?
Russell Brand?
No, not Russell Brand. I know who that is. John. Fuck, what's his name? John Goodman? It's not John Goodman. It is Russell Crowe?
You mean Gerard Butler?
Is it Gerard? No, I know who Gerard Butler is.
Not Gerard Butler. Russell Crowe.
It is. Okay.
And then what was the other thing you said? No, not John Goodman.
No.
Who's the other name in that?
Starts with an R.
Ryan Seacrest.
Yep. Russell Crowe and Ryan Seacrest. Dude, I hate that we blank on very obvious names because we've been talking for
Ryan
a while.
Reynolds.
Start with a G.
Geralt.
No, like a G sound. With a Goss sound.
Ryan Gosling.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Yeah, it's them.
I heard it's very good.
Yeah, it is pretty good. It's a Shane Black movie.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Director of The Best Predator.
Best Predator, yeah. And Best Iron Man.
So I didn't use that clearly good advertisement to get Sarah to watch it. I just like scrolled past it on like Netflix. I'm like, I've been wanting to watch this. And Sarah says the thing that she always regrets and says, you pick.
Oh, yeah.
And so I'm like, okay, let's watch this. We watched like the quick little like preview thing that Netflix gives you, which is not very good at advertising anything.
I agree.
But I'm like, I've been wanting to watch this. For, I don't know, this 8 years has been out or whatever.
Yeah, it's been out for a while.
But it's pretty good. I thought it was pretty like predictable at first, but then it just kind of gets like a little bit deeper. I'm like, oh, I don't know what's going to happen now.
Oh, cool.
And good action. A lot of some good laughs in there.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, good movie. It's like not one of those things like, hey, go watch this. But I'm like, if you are interested, like you'll enjoy it.
I think a lot of people were expecting it to be bad. For some reason.
It did kind of have the potential to be bad. It's right. Like a but I love like a buddy cop kind of thing.
Yeah.
Ryan Gosling's like a PI, and then Russell Crowe's like this like muscle for hire kind of guy.
Interesting.
And one's looking for a guy, and then he's like the other guy is like trying to make him not look for the guy, and then the guy and the or look for the girl, and the girl goes missing, and then it just kind of spirals from there.
Gotcha.
And it's pretty good.
Nice. Did you watch anything else?
Yes, Nathan. I watched a movie called Terrifier.
Okay.
It's a horror movie.
I think I've heard of this. Isn't that the second one or something?
The second one did come out this year, but we watched the first one. You know, because you can't just like skip to the second one.
Nah, fuck it.
I'll show you the movie poster. So that is The Terrifier.
Very scary.
Very scary.
Yeah. He would terrify me.
Yeah, absolutely. So here's kind of what you need to know about The Terrifier. Sarah like loved it. So that's a bad sign.
Oh, no. Is that Adam Sandler in it?
This movie, I like loved it, but I felt like fucking like awful afterwards. There's like this like dread over me. I'm like, what did I just watch? I'm like, I'm not gonna be able to sleep. I don't know. It's just like
a quality like dread, like, you know.
Yeah, like enough.
Okay.
It like this movie was so fucked up.
Really,
dude.
Wow.
Like, there's like kills in this. I'm like,
Dang, but that's hard to do.
But then again, it's also kind of like a comedy in a way. Like, cause he's doing these like awful kills, but he just does shit that's fucking hilarious. Like, there's this girl that he's like following, and she goes to like a bathroom, right? And she comes out, and he's just like standing there, like almost a scared face, but mm-hmm. also like, I'm gonna kill you face. There it is right there.
That, yeah, I don't know what to take from that, to be honest.
But it was so funny because he's like, you know what I mean? And there's just like when it's like, there's these like terrible things that are happening, and then there's just some sort of comic relief thing that he does.
Yeah.
Like he doesn't speak at all. So he might be like stabbed in like the foot, but he's just like he doesn't like scream so or anything.
Make noise.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's pretty funny then.
It's kind of one of those horror movies where like everyone in it is so dumb. You know what I mean? I'm like, why are you running like that?
I love
Run
that.
Faster. I'm like, don't go back in there. You know what I mean? I'm
so
like,
a classic horror.
Like, keep it moving. Yeah. There's also this part where like, so this girl, like there's these chain doors and this girl like kind of is able to squeeze through it and he can't get through it. So he's like kind of like grabbing for it or whatever. And then she's screaming out, I'm like, go away or whatever. And then he just brings out like a horn and is like honking at it. Like for some reason, he's like, or whatever.
Nice.
It was just, I'm like, what is this? And the laugh out loud moment for Sarah is like the first girl like kind of gets the better of him, like gets this like 2x4 and starts like knocking him down. And he gets knocked down. And then for some reason, she's like, get up. Right. And he like starts to like get up and he's like kneeling
mm-hmm.
and then just fucking pulls out a gun and shoots her like bang.
Whoa, wow.
And I'm like, what the fuck? He has a gun?
Because
he was like all knives and shit like the whole time, knives and saws. And he's just loaded.
Indiana Jones it.
Yeah, dude. He's got it on him. It's just, and it was so surprising because I'm like,
because those guys normally
Yeah, he's OP. He's got a gun too.
Yeah, that's awesome.
It's like one of those movies where like, you know how you don't watch a lot of scary movies?
Yeah.
It'd be like one of those ones I'm like, I would love to watch it with you just to show you.
It seems insane.
To see your reaction and also just so that you know how good this is out there. I've only heard reviews that the second one is like better, which is like, because Sarah's like, how do they top the first one? And I'm like, I don't know. Everyone says it's better.
Wow.
And so.
So you're going to watch the second one?
Eventually, yeah. I'll probably watch it with Serena. She hasn't seen it.
Oh, okay. Cool.
And yeah.
That's fun.
It is fun. So there was like some like, normally scares don't get me, but there was like a lot in that. And then it was also just insanely creepy with like his smile and shit. It's
yeah.
like. I was like looking at like toys of like the Terrifier afterwards.
Oh, wow.
And I'm like, I could not own these because
yeah.
they're so fucking freaky. And it just reminds me of like how I felt watching it, you know?
That's crazy.
But
did you need like a chaser show or something after?
Yeah, I watched New Girl, but it didn't work, Nathan.
Oh no.
New Girl didn't
I can't watch
some
it
great
then.
Episodes. Yeah, and it didn't it didn't flush that feeling away.
That's funny. Sophie's like been rewatching New Girl.
Really? It's yeah, great.
It is awesome. I'm glad that she is.
What are we gonna read next week?
And so what are we gonna read next week, Nathan?
I don't know.
So this is like a indie book, and so we can get back on the train of a DC one.
Sure.
So
didn't we have some ideas that we had written down recently? I don't think we actually wrote them down.
We write down so many ideas. Do you want to read Earth 2?
Maybe. Yeah.
I thought of that last week. I'm like, that'd be fun. Just something.
We
just know nothing different. About it, you know?
Yeah.
Super different.
Isn't that like a Tom Taylor book as well?
No, like kind of like the more, I think it's probably Grant Morrison or something. The kind of like early 2000s one is what I'm thinking. With like Black Superman, stuff like that. Because I don't think Tom Taylor was like around back then.
Oh, like New 52 Earth 2?
That's one. There's like JLA Earth 2.
Oh, what the fuck? There's a Morrison Frank Quitely Earth 2?
That's tough to beat, man.
I'm down for that. I didn't even know this existed. Is it bad?
I think I've seen the cover before.
I've never seen this in my life.
Oh, there's also...
Is this like the first Earth 2?
There's Earth 2 Society.
With
Jorge Jimenez. That's crazy.
I've read this one, I believe.
Society?
Yeah. I don't remember much from it.
Okay.
But yeah, Jorge Jimenez did get his like DC start with Earth 2, which is kind of cool.
Yeah, interesting.
I'm kind of interested in like this JLA Earth 2 now, to be honest.
Is there anything else you can think of that you want to do more than this? Or are you intrigued enough?
Flex Mentallo, I eventually want to do.
Oh, that's true. I have that physically. I'd also be open to that.
Which is also a Quietly book and Grant Morrison book, funny enough. So that's one I would eventually want to do. So I'm down for either of those. Shall we flip a coin?
Yep. So what? Flex Mentallo has a head. So heads.
He sure does have a head. No, wait. JLA has many heroes that have many heads.
Okay.
So JLA is heads.
Hey, Siri, flip a coin. It's tails. Flex Mentallo it is.
All right. I'm cool with that as well.
Sounds good. All right.
Yeah, that's one I've never heard of. I have heard of this Flex Mentallo one because I think it's like the first time Grant and Frank were together on a book, if I'm not mistaken. Really? So that's pretty cool.
Sounds good.
So next week, Flex Mentallo from the Doom Patrol.
The wait is over.
People have been trying to kick down our door and be like, read Flex Mentallo.
Yeah, he is.
Is he from Doom Patrol initially, or did they create this character?
And then he's just kind of
The
book.
I'm going to look up and create the deepest history of Flex Mentallo ever to be explained on a podcast.
Please.
Because I'm interested. And I saw that clip this week from the Doom Patrol show where he like flexes and everybody comes.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what a great character.
You know what? That is the clip that got me to watch the show.
Like, really?
Yeah. Because like I saw it on like, I don't know, Instagram or something.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like, what's happening? Or Robot Man's like, what's happening? And then like.
Because he's a robot and he can't come.
Yeah. And then Jane or whatever is like, we're coming, man. And I was like,
you're like, man,
what
there,
the fuck is happening?
There's some curveballs in this show.
Yeah.
That's cool. All right. Yeah. Flex Mentallo.
Cool.
Thank you, everybody, for listening.
Thanks for watching.
If you are watching, we love you more.
Indeed.
And if you're not watching, if you subscribe, we'll let it slide.
True.
So give us a subscribe. Let us know what you want us to read. We got an email at tradewriterspot@gmail.com. We also have a link tree, and however you're watching this, it's going to be there.
Give some follows. You can
follow us.
Give some likes.
On the other platforms. Exactly. So that's the show.
Okay, bye.
Peace.